Tomorrow our nation celebrates, now for the 243rd time, its birth and independence from the tyrannies and the abuses that were imposed upon the colonies by Great Britain, who at that time was the most powerful nation on earth. I want to set before us this evening, on this eve of the 4th of July, thoughts not only about the birth and liberty of our nation, but also thoughts about the rebirth and liberty and freedom of the sinner who will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. The Continental Congress outlined a long train of abuses, I think 27 of them, I believe, in all, that had been unfairly imposed upon them by Great Britain. And so, July the 4th, 1776, that was the day of the final presentation of the Declaration of Independence. And they stated in there that they were dissolving all of their political bands of their abusers. Again, who at that time was the most powerful nation on earth. And the signers stated among the reasons why they were determined to obtain this liberty that they so longed for, the freedom. Well, number one, they were humbly and prayerfully looking to divine providence for their protection and to help them in this quest for independence and liberty. And number two, they were willing to acquire this freedom even at the price of their very lives and their sacred honor and their fortunes. I noticed in some reading in the past day or two, in the prelude to his book, The Separation of Church and Freedom, our dear brother, our beloved pastor, who's now in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven, he wrote these words, quote, "Our greatest enemy is ourselves. We have a Father who has presented to us, quote, the glorious liberty of the children of God," Romans 8:21. "We have a Savior of whom it is said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed," John 8:36. "We have the Holy Spirit of whom we read, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," 2 Corinthians 3:17. "We have a Bible which says, quote, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," Galatians 5:1. "We have a form of government which is the most amenable to freedom of any ever known to human experience." That was the end of his quote. Those are to me wonderful words and thoughts about freedom and liberty. And to think about, as we're entering into this celebration of remembering our nation's beginning, the intent of the founders was one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Or as Pastor Kelly put it, the most amendable, meaning the nation most responsive to freedom to its citizens of any ever known to human experience. But there's also an even more amendable nation than our great nation. A nation of more nobler freedom, of more honorable liberty, another government, if you will, that exceeds the freedom of our government as far as light exceeds darkness, because the liberty and freedom of this nation is eternal. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to where we read about that in 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the citizens of this holy nation, a holy nation, belong to Jesus Christ. Citizens that were purchased by no less than the eternal blood of God himself. God's own precious eternal blood shed upon the cross of Calvary to offer eternal redemption to everyone who will believe in him. And so becoming a citizen of this nation, this holy nation, it frees its citizens from the captivity of a very cruel taskmaster, the devil and Satan. And not the captive to the devil only, but also captive also to our own sinful nature. A nature that's resident in every heart, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And when the aged Paul was instructing the young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, in meekness, use meekness to instruct those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So on this eve of July the 4th, 2019, our Independence Day of celebration, it begs the question, have you been freed? Have you experienced the liberty from the bondage of that old oppressor, the devil, who takes his captives at his will? Have you ever been freed from the captivity of your own sin to have and enjoy a new life? A life that's lived in God's will and not your own will. That is true independence, and that is true eternal freedom. Have you ever looked to divine providence, as our founders did, to God alone, for freedom from that tyranny of that old oppressor, the serpent, who deceived our first parents with the promise that they would be like gods, only to give them death? That's powerful deception. And it's a deception that's still rampant in every human heart of the lost people. The Continental Congress stated in that greatest of human documents, I was reading a little bit on the Declaration of Independence, and it claimed over and over, there's never been a greater human document than our Declaration of Independence. And so the Continental Congress stated that, again, because of this long train of abuses that had been unfairly imposed upon them, taxation without representation upon the colonies, that the time had come to dissolve all the political bands from Great Britain. But as we think about that, there's also a long train of abuses imposed upon every sinner on earth, tyrannical abuses. Again, imposed by our own sinful nature with which we're born. And then those tyrannical abuses are only prolonged and intensified by that old oppressor, the devil and the deceiver and Satan. And speaking of that oppressor, Job, in Job 41:34, calls him the king. The king over all the children of pride. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's the captor. He's the oppressor. He's the spiritual father of all the children of pride. Job 41:34 says, "He beholdeth all high things." He is a king over all the children of pride. He beholdeth all high things. He looks down on everything as inferior to himself. He did that in heaven. In the presence of God. He does it on earth. And this pride is his master education plan for the human race. And he's done an amazing job at it. So again, the question that we have to ask is, are we still living under the authority and under the rule of that old vile oppressor, the devil? And the gospel, the good news, is that we can be freed from this tyranny. We can be freed from the deceitful pride of the king of pride. Our nation's founders, at the birth of this nation, unwaveringly, they were trusting in divine guidance, divine providence. And with that confidence, they pledged to each other their lives. They were willing to die for it. And you know, isn't that what is required? The Lord Jesus said, "If whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." And they were willing to do that, our founders. They knew full well what they were, what King George was about to do when he heard of their revolt. And so they pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. And that's in a way parallels, it's amazing as I was thinking about the birth of our nation and what it took, and the rebirth of the individual's heart. So, has the day of independence, has that ever came to your life when you were freed from that long abuse? A train of abuses that have been imposed upon you since birth. As soon as we be born, we go astray speaking lies. It's who we are. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by practice. It's who we are. We are sinners. But has the day of independence ever came in your life when you were freed from that kind of tyranny, the tyranny of your own heart, and the tyranny of the oppressor, the king of pride, the old deceiver, and the devil and Satan? Has the personal independence day of liberty ever dawned in your heart? When you determined that even if it cost you everything, as the founders knew that it very well would and did to many of them. That it would cost them everything. They were willing to pay that price. To be under that, out from under that tyranny. And so, we have to look inwardly. There's a personal application to this day of tomorrow, the 4th of July, the Independence Day, and all everything that it was about. It parallels exactly to a personal experience. Has that personal Independence Day of liberty, is it a reality in your heart? As I think Michael mentioned in his prayer, there's so many people across this country that are just it'll go right up over them. They just won't. I mean, there'll be some patriotic song sung, and but the way that happens personally is, first of all, you have to be willing to lose your life. As the founders were willing to do. You have to be willing to lose your life. It has to become more important than anything on earth to you. And you have to be willing and ready to dissolve all those spiritual bonds in your that the human heart clings to, that old nature. And you have to dissolve all the spiritual bonds of your oppressor, the King of Pride. But the Lord Jesus did that for us. We just have to enter into His work on the cross. And that's how you do it. You do it by looking by faith to the cross of Calvary. And to the power of what Christ accomplished there in your behalf. So, There's not one reason on this, our nation's birthday, not one excuse why each one of us, each and every one of us would fail to pledge our hearts and our lives to this freedom from bondage to sin and its penalty, and to have a new birth in our hearts as the liberty of the children of God. Listen to the words of Robert Treat Paine, signer of the Declaration of Independence. Words which, by the way, were a part of his last will and testament. He said, "I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me by birth in a land of gospel light with the glorious tidings of a Savior, and of pardon and salvation through Him have been continually sounding in mine ears." You see, in those words of Robert Treat Paine, we can see a desire within his heart, not only to have this freedom for himself, but to impart it to his family, to his friends, to his neighbors, to an entire nation. And isn't that the commission of God upon our lives? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our nation is in trouble. It's in trouble with God. And it's been amazing to me that the Lord has not either come or poured out His judgment because of the many sins of this nation. But that is our commission. And even in spite of the condition that we have, the Lord, somehow we still enjoy the blessings of liberty from God, but it's only a small remnant of what it was from past generations. We've lost We've lost the great blessings of liberty. And now it's just, it's a very, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we're living there. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Lord comes back. And that's where we're living at now. So King George waged this cruel war against human nature itself, violating the unalienable, God-given, sacred rights of life and liberty. And isn't that ever the work of the oppressor, that old one that's greater than King George? Greater than King George had ever been. Isn't that his cruel war? He beholdeth all things that are high. He is a king over all the children of pride. So, we've observed, what we're doing is we're observing these similarities. This parallel between the birth of our nation and how it happened. It happened because God made it happen. Because there were men and women who were students of God's word. And they knew about being free. If the Son shall make you free, that you shall be free indeed. But they weren't free. They were living under oppression. And so there's a great similarity, a great parallel between the birth of our nation and the new birth of salvation that's experienced by the individual. And so as the birth of our nation, so is the birth within the human heart, the new birth. It's about liberty. It's about freedom. In John 8:32, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So the freedom that we're talking about is not temporal only. It's eternal and it's personal. And so on this evening of the eve of the 4th of July, the birthday of our nation, anyone who may be here without salvation, this can be your eternal birthday. It can be your eternal birthday. But you know, God, He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish. But lost people can come into a church meeting such as this one and the other ones that we have. A lost person can come, and they often do. And they sit there and they hear the Word of God. They hear about this gospel. They hear about the problem of sin and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And they have a choice to make. They have a choice to make. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You know, if somebody comes in and hears the gospel in a church meeting and they're not saved, God can speak to that heart and he does. And he makes them aware of this great eternal need that's in their heart. And if they leave and don't respond to that invitation, it's not known to us. It's known only to God. That may be the last time that they will. A person can commit the unpardonable sin. The last time has come, when they have rejected God's offer, they've heard the gospel again and again and again and again. They don't have to be some old person that's been here for 50 years. It could be a young person. That's why the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So again, as we experience this celebration of the birth of our nation tomorrow, you have to shine the light of the Word of God deep into your heart and answer the question, have I ever experienced a rebirth of freedom? Freedom from sin. Have I ever experienced this salvation? The Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think of that publican. I think of that poor publican. Just thought of as sinners. But the publican one day went up to the temple to pray. And there was somebody else there that was noticed in the eternal word of God. There was a Pharisee praying. So they both went up to the temple to pray. And the Bible says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he said, I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are, or even as this publican. I tithe twice in the week. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. His focus was on himself. I do this and I do that. And I'm nice to my mother. I'm nice to my father. I help my neighbor next door. And I come to church. And I do this and I do that. And the publican, the Bible says, he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast. And this was his prayer. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I'm a sinner and I need your mercy. And the Bible says that that publican, who nobody noticed, he went down to his house justified, meaning the man got saved. Because that's what salvation is. It's confessing our sins. He confessed his sins. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee, who had a lot of Bible knowledge and had a lot of influence in the community, and a lot of people respected him. I'm sure they didn't have that much respect for the publican. He didn't go down to his house saved. I think if he would have, the Lord would have said it, but he didn't. He said the publican went down to his house justified. So the point being here is, how many times does a lost person have to hear the gospel, which you've just heard? How many times do they have to hear it? How many times? That's known only to God. And when is the last time that you'll hear it? That's known only to God. But I do know one thing. God says today is the day of salvation. God says now is the accepted time. So again, I hope tomorrow, when all the attention is on the great celebration and the fireworks, which is fine, it's something to celebrate. I love this nation, and I'm sure you do too. But we also need to think about the liberty within. Have we ever been given the freedom from our sin? And that's found only in Christ. When you find Christ, Jesus, when you personally find Him, and He comes to reside in your heart, you will know freedom, and you will know liberty, and you will know joy. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You again for this time together. And we thank You for this great nation that You've blessed us with, the envy of all the world. And we thank You for the freedom that we enjoy here, the freedom that so many countries are persecuted for, even many Christians persecuted unto death. And if they're going to even study the Bible, they have to go to some secret place where they won't be seen. And so we just pray tonight for our nation. We pray for our leaders. And we just ask You, Lord, to have mercy on them, those who are lost, and that barring the salvation experience, they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. We pray for them, Lord, that somehow You'll just move by the power of Your Spirit upon this land and upon this nation. We just thank You so much for living here. And we pray that in this place You'll continue to give us the liberty and freedom to preach the gospel. And we pray that as we go forth out of this place, that we might be missionaries. Lord, there's so many, the fields are white unto harvest. They're white unto harvest. So many souls out there. And we just pray that You'll put it upon our hearts to prayerfully and being led by You to be Your witnesses to lost souls. We thank You for Calvary Memorial Church, for Calvary Christian School. And we thank You again for this time together tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.